Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. Yes, Lord. He said yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Well, moving on. The Lord has said yes. Next speaker will be introduced by her lovely husband. Art, would you come to introduce your wife, please?
Be seated, please. I have the distinct honor and privilege of introducing Sharon to you, my wife. And it's a difficult thing for a husband to introduce his wife, because there's a thousand things you'd like to say, but there I'll keep it to a very few. First of all, I have the opportunity to commend to you a woman of God. She's first and foremost, before she's anything else, she's a daughter. She's a daughter of the King. And she lives her life that way. She is, first of all, a woman of God. She's, second of all, the genuine coin of the realm. You understand what I mean? She's a genuine coin of the realm. She's the real deal. There's no pretense. What you see is definitely clearly what you get. And we've spent our lives together. We met when we were 18 years old. We've spent our entire life together, growing up in the things of God together. There's a great advantage to growing up with your spouse in the Lord together. I can tell you she's a consummate mother. She loves all of our girls, and she's a phenomenal mother. I think, but most importantly, what I can say about her is that she loves Jesus with all of her heart, her strength, and her mind. And she is real, and she's just real clear. She's a straight shooter. She's a strong woman. I love living with a strong woman. She does everything that I do, only better. So I commend to you Sharon Snow, my wife.
What I said earlier was that kiss was preaching in itself. Amen? Strong churches don't build strong families. Strong families build strong churches. Okay. I would like to start with you this morning in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 through 20. So as you turn there, we'll read together. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 through 20. For the love of God controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, that they who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Therefore, we now recognize no man according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were entreating through us. We beg you on our behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. When I saw the theme, and I began to pray and ask the Lord what he wanted me to share on, he began to define for me that healing in the kingdom really is rather three-dimensional, or there's three aspects of healing in the kingdom. The first aspect of healing in the kingdom is, of course, physical healing. It's that avenue through which God, in his miraculous supernatural power, reverses the effects of sin, the effects of injury, the effects of accident as it has impaled or impaired our mortal body. I don't know about you, but I count on this on a daily basis. I count on the healing grace of Jesus being my portion in the covenant as a child of God. The second aspect of healing is emotional healing. Emotional healing, as the Lord and I have rather defined it for this purpose, is the application of the power of the blood onto damage done to our soul through abuse, trauma, and hurt. And then the last aspect of healing is spiritual healing. Spiritual healing comes in the way of salvation, deliverance, and revelation. Revelation in as much as it releases us from religious bondage and the traps of ill-formed thinking. If we are not spiritually healed, we cannot heal others. If we are not emotionally healed, we have no authority to speak into the lives of others. And if we are not physically healed, we may or may not possess the energy and the strength and the faculties to do what God has called us to do. So therefore, it is my assumption that healing in the body of Christ is absolutely essential. We cannot live without it. We must embrace the theology of healing. We must not only believe that God can heal, we must believe that He will heal us, and we must contend for the healing of others. And when I say contend, I mean laboriously contend. There's a young lady in our church. I'm guessing she's probably 10 or 12, and I don't really know what she has. No one will really tell me. It's that wonderful, glorious denial. Oh, no, she's not sick. She can't walk. She can't talk, but there's really nothing wrong with her. We don't know what's wrong with her. My guess is she probably has cerebral palsy. And every opportunity I get, I lay my hands on that little girl. I hug her. I hold her. We're a rather exuberant church, so we dance. So sometimes I dance with her. And I love to watch. When she first started coming, my girls always hold my fingers, and then they spin, you know, like they'll spin around. And so she observed that, and she came up and took my finger. And she wanted me to spin her. Well, her little leg muscles, they couldn't coordinate spinning. And so I just kind of helped her turn around. And now, some 3 years later, she's actually spinning on her own. She'll take my finger and she'll spin. And you know what? I will not stop praying for her full, complete physical and mental healing until the day I die, or until God says, don't pray anymore. That's what I mean by contending. I don't mean just a cursory, oh Lord, please heal so-and-so. I mean the kind of prayer that perseveres, that prays when everything against you says that you should stop, when everything that you're looking at says it's hopeless. You need to contend for healing. You need to contend for physical healing, because without physical healing, there could possibly be premature death of the saints. There could be premature death of the saints, and certainly incapacitation, physical incapacitation. We must contend and live a lifestyle of contending for physical healing. We must embrace a lifestyle of spiritual healing, lest we promote without intentionality religious bondage. If I believed today what I believed 25 or 30 years ago when I first became a Christian, I would be among most women most pathetic. Because the increasing revelation of the knowledge of God, not only as I read it and understand it in a more mature way through the Word, but as I experience His impact on my life and I allow my attitudes and my opinions, of which I have many, to be molded under the mighty hand of God, I would promote to my children and every person I touch religious bondage. We are spiritual beings, and absent the knowledge of God, we will find something to worship, even if it is only ourselves. So we must be very conscious about having our worship life funneled, I hate to use the word channeled in this new age society, but channeled is the word I want, channeled in the direction of the Godhead, or we will very quickly begin to embrace man's laws rather than God's character. Spiritual healing must be contended for, which means I must confront, not verbally, not physically, but I must confront in prayer every instance of religious bondage that I sense. Because we cannot reproduce anything except what we are. So where there is religious bondage will be reproduced. Where there is freedom, freedom will be reproduced. So we must seek an ever-increasing revelation of the knowledge of God so that our character formation can be seated firmly in His hands and not in the hands of anything that is made by or touched by man. Without spiritual healing, the body of Christ would be most ineffective. We would have lots of rules. We would have so many rules. I remember early on as a pastor's wife being told that I had to play the piano. That was good because I took 11 years of classical music. Now, the charismatic move really kind of whacked that out because I couldn't read a chord chart. So, you know, I failed Pastor's Wife 101 because I could sight read Tchaikovsky's Nutcracker Suite, but I couldn't read a chord chart. And then they told me that probably my hair should be conservatively bunned. That was good because I could sit on it at the time. So I had like a bun and a half. And then I was told that I couldn't wear red fingernail polish and that I couldn't paint my toes. And all of a sudden I said, you know what? You've mentored me more than enough. I need to go into my prayer closet and I need to find out who Jesus says I am. Because I was just not quite fit in their mold. And here's the thing. By nature, I'm a rule keeper. Okay? I am a rule keeper. So you give me a set of rules, and I will try my best to follow them. But what happened inside my heart, spiritually, is there was a war going on between my spirit man and my soul. Because my spirit really wanted to follow Jesus. And I later learned out that Jesus doesn't really care if I paint my toenails. But yet my soul was trying to obey the rules and fit into the mold that people wanted me so desperately to fit in so that I would be appropriate. So I went into my prayer closet and I said, Jesus, I don't see any scriptures on the pastor's wife. In fact, I only see one scripture that mentions the word pastor, so I think they're making way too big a thing about this in the beginning. So I think that I need for you to tell me who I am. I need for you to tell me who I am, and then I need to become the person that you are calling me to become, because it's the only way the war inside of me is going to stop. So I found out that it was okay for me to paint my toenails, and I could even do red, because that's Art's favorite color. See, and the Lord said, you honor your husband, and you honor me. So I said, honey, you like red? He said, I love red. I said, here we go. Here we go. And he who the sun sets free is free indeed. is free indeed. And suddenly, the war within me ceased. The war within me ceased. And I was able to always run everything that was presented to me as what a woman should be or what a Christian should be. I was always able to run that through the grid of God, who am I? And who are you? And how do we fit together? And as I began to do that, I realized that there were very few rules that I had to follow. There were huge adjustments that I had to make. The adjustments were so enormously huge that for a long season of my time, a long season, 30 years, my two favorite passages are Jeremiah, where he says, "Your heart is deceitfully wicked above all things," and Hebrews 12:11, which says, "All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, yet sorrowful. But afterward, to those who have been trained by it, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness." So you ask anybody who knows me well, and they will tell you that when I present myself, you know, when the sons of God appear before the Lord and I present myself before him, I ask him first for discipline and then for blessing. Because when I pass on, I want two things to be said about me. That I bore the peaceful fruit of righteousness within my being. And that I was a balanced woman. That I never chased junk. But that I always stayed on the path leading me directly to the throne of God. Spiritual healing, without it, is absolutely unthinkable. It is absolutely unthinkable. Let's turn just for a minute to John 16:13. This was one of the first most freeing passages that I read early in my life. It's John 16:13 says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will disclose to you what is to come." What that reminded me was that the Holy Spirit was the emissary of truth, which is not an ideal. Truth is a person. Truth is Jesus. And the Holy Spirit, therefore, being the Spirit of truth, is the bearer of Jesus to me, which canceled out that whole doctrine of secret sin. Did you hear me? Canceled out the whole doctrine of secret sin. Have you ever met a sinner that didn't know they were sinning? I mean, honestly, just be real honest with yourself. We approach spiritual healing from the wrong perspective. You don't have to tell them how bad they are. You know, quite honestly, no one has to tell you how bad you are. Because I don't care what you present in public. You go home, and you know who you are. And you know where you live. And you know the issues that you struggle with. So the Holy Spirit not only leads us into truth about ourselves, but he leads us into the truth of Jesus. And when we embrace that, we can encounter on a daily basis spiritual healing. And then you find that all those ill-formed opinions that you really held on to just begin to fade away. When I was young, I still think I'm young, but when I was younger, I was incredibly dogmatic. And if you ask for an opinion, I have at least three. I'm not a woman who doesn't have a brain that works. I'm very opinionated, and I'm very strong, and I don't mind telling you my opinion. What I've learned as I've gotten older is that I need to run my opinions through the permission grid of the Holy Spirit. Because what I think is right in part. But there is another side that I did not think of, and I must defer to the Holy Spirit for ultimate truth so that I can then walk in spiritual healing. Isaiah 53, 1 Peter 2:24, they're classic passages on physical healing. They beat Jesus so that I could contend for physical healing. They beat him bloody so that I could ask. I remember one night I struggled is past tense, and you'll find out why it's past tense in just a minute. But I struggled with infertility all of my life. I knew about 5 years before I got married that I would probably never be able to bear children. And that was a really big deal for me because I really wanted to be a mom and I really wanted to breastfeed my kids. So when I found out that I was going to have to acquire a family through adoption, that was really no big deal for me. Adoption was fine with me and with my husband as well. But I really wanted to breastfeed my kids. So I said, Jesus, you were faithful to Hannah, and, you know, I'm guessing that though I'm a sinner and I'm weak, and I'm guessing Hannah had all those same issues. So I'm guessing that you'll heal me, and will you just give me milk if I get a baby? So I successfully breastfed both of my adopted children. Yeah, amen. And then one day, I actually got pregnant, and I didn't know it. We were actually with James and Gwyneth eating Chinese food, and I started to get very sick, and I said, Art, you need to take me home because I don't feel well. And he said, what do you think is wrong? And I said, well, I was a labor and delivery nurse for years, so I said, if I didn't know better, I'd think I was having contractions. Because this feels like what women describe, but I don't get pregnant. And so he said, well, okay, well, just, like hang out, and if you think I need to take you to the doctor, let me know. So he lay there, and he was teaching in a Bible institute at the time, so he left. And about 15 minutes after he left, I realized that I really was in labor. And I went into the bathroom, and I lost a baby. So I called the doctor, and they said, well, how do you feel now? And I said, well, I feel great. And they said, well, that's what happens. After the baby's born, no more pain, you're fine. Do I need to come to the doctor? Are you bleeding? No. I said, okay, fine. So I went, laid on the couch, and about 20 minutes later, I had the most incredible pain that I've ever had. It was worse than before. So I went back in the bathroom, and it was so bad that I just, I have a very high tolerance for pain, but I didn't think I could take it. And I didn't want Emily and Danielle, I didn't want them to hear what was going on, so I locked the bathroom door and just began to pray real quietly. And I said, God, I'm really tired of this. I'm tired of, my body not working like it's supposed to work. And if this is, and I'm really upset that I just, had a child and it's in the trash. You know what I mean? It's gone. It's not going to live. This is very upsetting to me, and I need to know what's going on. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, you were pregnant with twins. And he said, you're losing the second baby now. And he said, you're going to have, and he gave me the exact number of contractions, and Art's gone. Isn't that always the way it is? Art's always gone when these things happen. And so he said, you're going to have X number of more contractions, and each one is going to be worse than the next. But when it is over, you will become pregnant. I'm like, okay, fine. So I'm a labor and delivery nurse, so I knew what to do. I panted, I blew, I did, the whole nine yards very quietly so that the children would not hear the agony that I was in. So I was leaning over the bathroom, and sure enough, exact number of contractions, each one was worse than the next. And from that moment on, my body functioned normally. Perfectly normally. And at a moment when I least expected it, at a season in my life when I could have made some choices that would have taken me down a path that would have been less than what God wanted for me, I made a choice to serve God despite what I felt and despite what I saw. And 3 days later, I got pregnant at almost 50 years old and after 25 years of marriage. And now, as an old woman, I have a 4-year-old. Okay. That's contending for healing. That's saying to God, look, enough. Enough of the confinement to my mortal body. I want my spirit set free to serve you and to do what you've called me to do from the foundations of the earth. So now I have a 4-year-old, which is great. Most of you guys retire, you get alone with your spouses when you're like 55, 56. Art and I will be alone when we're 77. You know. So I plan on contending for youthfulness. The thing that I want to concentrate on next, though, is emotional healing. Because the emotional healing, that application of the power of the blood to the damage done to our souls through abuse, hurt, and trauma, is what, frankly, I see as the most detrimental thing to the body of Christ. Because if I am, I think that was your bottle, it's half empty. My prophetic bent happens. Together, we have a full cup. The amount of emotional wounding in the body of Christ, to me, is unbelievable. And what happens is, wounded people wound people. If I'm hurt, I somehow have to defend myself. It's the way God made us. God made us so that we don't crack up. He gave us defense mechanisms. And without the revelational knowledge of Jesus, we use our defense mechanisms against each other. So therefore, if I'm struggling with insecurity, rather than embracing the knowledge of who I am in Jesus, I'm jealous of you. And I envy your gifts. And I envy your church. And I envy what you get to do. And I envy what your kids do. And it goes on down the line. If we could embrace emotional healing in the church, I believe that we could take a large step toward his second return. Because we would have unity. We would have a unity that would exceed the superficial stuff that we do. I'm talking about letting yourself and someone that's accountable and good go into that place in your heart where you don't even let your spouse go. Have you found that place yet? Where you're not even sure you can share this with your spouse. Oftentimes, we hurt people and we know we've done it and we won't own it. We justify it. And might I suggest to you that the whole time you're making your quite eloquent argument in your mind for why you were right, Jesus is watching. And Jesus is saying, own it. Say, you know what? I'm incredibly intimidated because I'm very insecure. Would you pray for me? Oh, we couldn't do that. Because that's way too vulnerable. But see, my contention with you is this. Are we or are we not supposed to follow Jesus' example? Yes or no question? Yes. Did he make himself vulnerable? Did he make himself vulnerable to his enemies? Did he make himself vulnerable to his friends? Did he make himself vulnerable to his critics? So what makes you think you're any different? The other night, Thursday night, something happened, and I got a little attitude about it. Because I already told you, I have opinions and attitudes, and sometimes you can pass that off as prophetic, and sometimes you just need to pass it off as sin. That's just the bottom line. So I got back to the hotel room, and we have not been alone without our children for 10 years. So Art had ideas for what we would do when we got back to the hotel room. And I had ideas to make myself accountable for my thoughts. So we sat down in the bed, and I said, could I make myself accountable to you? And he gets that look in his eyes like, oh, my gosh. Here she goes again. And so I told him what bothered me, and he said, let me just start off by saying, I really wish this stuff would not bother you. And I said, well, let me retort by saying, I'm sorry it does. But I need to be accountable. So will you call me into account or not? So we had our little accountability discussion. But here's the deal. If I would not have brought that thing into the light, if I had just said, I know he doesn't like it when I say these things, and I'm probably wrong, or, I'm probably right. You know what I mean? It's like you can go either way. I would have begun to develop a thought pattern around that thing that would have caused me possibly to sin later on, either by word or deed or thought pattern. Yes? If I do not take my thoughts into accountability, if I do not embrace 2 Corinthians 10:5 and take every thought captive under the lordship of Jesus Christ, then I am at risk for not only allowing myself to be emotionally injured, but for emotionally injuring others. Now, as Art said, I'm a little bit of a straight shooter, so I'm just going to tell you this like only I know how to say it. You guys are all way too offended too easily. Get over it. You're not all that. You're just not all that. I mean, God loves you, and you are his son, and you are royalty and all that stuff, but here you're just not all that. That's like Prince William trying to pull I'm the Prince on Prince Harry. Hello, brother, I'm one heart, I'm one heartbeat away from your job. Now, anybody who has more than two kids understands sibling rivalry and the need for the parents' attention. So I am not unaware, nor am I uncompassionate toward your need to be Jesus' favorite. But I am. So just live with it. As they say in England, you're the spare to the heir. See, what you don't understand is, at one time, Jesus' lap is big enough for all of us. His lap is big enough for all of us. And at the same moment, I can be the very apple of his eye, while you are also the apple of his eye. And somehow, we have to learn to be the apple together. I need to learn to understand that Jesus loves you. I need to understand that Jesus loves sinners, and that there is a spot on his lap that is empty because they are not there. It changes the way we look at everybody. It changes the way you look at this church down the street whose doctrine differs from you. It changes the way you look at the cashier that checks out your groceries. It changes the way you looked at the absolutely frustrated fried mother in the cereal aisle with 87 boxes of cereal and no meat in the cart, you know, because the kids are throwing it in. It changes the way you look at everyone if you will understand that at the very same moment in time, you are nothing and yet you are everything. And so are they. Now, I would like to suggest to you that healing in the kingdom is not so segmented that we can embrace one without the other. We must contend for physical healing, or we will not have the strength to do what God has called us to do. We just simply won't, because we are confined to frail flesh. So I count on His healing grace every day of my life so that I can do what He's asked me to do. I must count on spiritual healing so that I do not pass on religious bondages. And I must embrace emotional vulnerability and freedom so that I don't hurt the brothers and sisters around me with my opinions, which will soon be passed under the blood and no longer mine. If we will do these things, if we will embrace a lifestyle of forgiving one another, not being offended so easily, we will bring healing in the kingdom in mass measure. Thank you very much.